It's a distinct pleasure to welcome to Many Rivers Books and Tea Noris Binet. She is originally born and I assume grown and educated in the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
Living here now in the town of Sonoma, she came into the store not long ago, showed me this beautiful book that you can take a look at as you wish to on your way out. As you see, actually, it matches the flowers that she has thoughtfully, or someone has thoughtfully brought.
Her painting.
So thank you for that. It's a beautiful book, very heartfelt material. I said, we have to have you as soon as we can get you in. We had a cancellation, and Noris went right in. So we are so delighted that she could join us here. This project was conceived in 1992, that this book is the product of. And there was a conference where women from many different backgrounds met in a safe environment and explored a process of journeying to their center, women on their inner journey, building bridges over racial divides. And it's wonderful work. I am so delighted to welcome Noris Binet to Many Rivers Books and Tea. Please join me in welcoming.
Hello, everyone. This is 20 years ago. So I would like to begin with a little. That was not a good beginning. So I want to use this instrument because it's my last discovery that I'm enjoying very much. And it's for me a way of soothing. So I would like to begin with something that happened this morning when I was beginning to feel what is this about today, what I'm going to be doing. Grace descend on me today as a transparent veil, subtle, invisible, only revealing itself as a glimpse. I couldn't hold it. I couldn't keep it. Because it keeps descending and descending as a shower. Grace descend on me today as a transparent veil. Subtle and invisible, only revealing itself as a glimpse. I couldn't hold on to it. I couldn't keep it because it keeps descending as a shower without stopping. Right now, grace keep descending on us as a transparent veil, subtle and invisible. When I begin to pull myself together to do a presentation of a book 20 years later, I realized that four women have passed away. And those women are no much older than us, really. Three African American and one Caucasian. And so it was like a shock. Even I know how these women pass away, and I have been connecting with them, but just to look back, it was like, wow. So I asked permission to begin this presentation with some poem and some time, few seconds, just to reflect in our own mortality and the energy of those women who, at that time, we didn't have a black president. Some of those women who were working with me had to sit in the back of a bus or going to the back door in the movie theater. And so their willingness to go through that, it was pretty, now looking back, it's pretty amazing that they did. So one of those women was Gwynelde Smukes, who was a beautiful African-American woman poet who came to a moment of sickness and decided to go willingly to die. Came to a point when she realized that there was no desire. Even when she was not that sick, she could resolve the health problem. But it came of a moment that lack of resources, lack of support, took her to a place that she said, you know, I'm going to go. And so when I read this poem, I was so amazed by what she wrote in that time. It's called, that she wrote in this time, because she died probably 6-7 years ago. In passing, this is not the life to cling to. This is not the place to stay. This is not the end of our beginning, not the station, but the way. This is but a passing moment in an endless string of time. It's a bubble in a bathtub. It's a circle, not a line. We are works of art created by painters of the soul. We are light and shadow, moving pictures, frames of a single role. The film is eternity. The camera is life. And we are image of God in flickering black and white. So I would like just to honor her and these other 3-4 women. In this way. When I moved to Nashville from Mexico in 1988, one of the first places that my husband took me to visit was the Parthenon. He knew I will enjoy this reproduction of the 5th century BC Greek temple to the goddess Athena. The architecture of the Parthenon, like that of other sacred temples and pyramids, is an expression of the relationship between the human and the divine, expressed in a single form. Being in such places always evokes the sensation of being in the presence of something beyond myself. I make two wonderful connections when I visit this temple in Nashville, in the surprising place to find the Parthenon. It's the only place that exists, actually, because it's not in the Acropolis any longer. Nashville is the capital. Where, you know, it's the Acropolis. One connection that I saw there, it came to me as a vision. I saw something at the Parthenon that I didn't see happening in any other place in Nashville. I saw black and white people together, sharing the same space in a very relaxed way. I really felt good seeing that. Almost immediately, I envisioned it a performance in the temple with black and white artists. I thought this would be a very powerful, because darkness and light together create the whole. People reacted very strongly to my idea. They say, in Nashville, black and white people performing at the Parthenon? Forget it. What that did to me was a very interesting, maybe because the culture that I'm from, the way that I grew up, is that you put me a challenge and you have me there. So to get all this response, forget it, that is impossible in Nashville, black and white, no, we don't do that, this is not the way. So I was very provoked by this kind of reaction. And so I begin to test my water in an environment that I really didn't know that well. I was lucky because I was married with a Jewish man. And I say that because he was not black, he was not white, he was in some way like me. You know, we didn't fit into the picture of the South, and he didn't feel that he either. So for him was like a very interesting possibility to see me going through Nashville doing this kind of outrageous activities. I was often angry because I too felt a good deal of discrimination because of my color. I wasn't slow to realize this, because the U.S. is the first place where I have felt something was wrong because my race. But still, it was clear that I couldn't allow myself to come from that frustration. It was not my wish to get trapped into reacting on the basis of such emotion like anger. Because of my mixed race and spiritual heritage, I understood that I couldn't view life from such a narrow perspective. Challenge is to go beyond that and bring the energy of a shared diversity, helping others to see that if all cultures take the time to know each other, surprises will happen and we will be walking on a new path. I believe such a change is the only right now that is capable of answering some of our deepest questions. Why are we here? How can we keep from destroying this planet and ourselves? How do we learn the lesson of forgiveness and love? So it was a very, I don't even know if I was so conscious of what I was really doing, or I was in that trend when you are taken by an energy that you just realize what it is as it moves through you, as it moves through you through life. You begin to, oh, what really this is about. So it was a very profound journey, and I will say that it's maybe the journey of my life that had been a focus and many years dwelling into understanding even what that means, you know? It helped me to reflect on my own heritage. At that point, I was a Dominican. It was no question who I was. When I came here, I had to redefine myself. Am I white? Am I black? I am both. I'm mixed race. So I need to begin to learn. How do we define oneself racially? Because it was not part of my conditioning. I was just from the island, Dominican, and we know that we born from black, white, and Taínos, the indigenous people of my country. There really is a merengue that I wish that I could bring and we could dance a little bit. That is a, yeah, because this guy, he's an incredible poet, but he say, we are a hole in the middle of the sky and the ocean because we are a tiny island. And we come from black, Taínos, and white. But who conquered who? So it's that kind of phenomenon that takes place where apparently one culture and one race can conquer another. But when we mix, who really conquered who? So it becomes to be this kind of melting heritage where you can sense that, you know, you can connect to these different races, but you are not only one of them. I'm going just to read a few things from some of these women that you can have a little flavor. I don't want to read a lot because you can read it yourself, and that I think that is a better journey, but I just wanted to give you a little insight. I am a woman on an inner journey. Am I the Cherokee called Three Feathers, a mix of races? My blood runs black, red, and white. I am also a native Nashvillian, whose ancestors have lived in Tennessee, it seems like forever. In my home and at church, I learned racial and religious tolerance, but I grew up in a conservative WASP Southern society, which was severely segregated, a society that did not know about my racial origins. In college in North Carolina, I met two people who became lifelong friends and helped me understand the problems and obstacles of racial prejudice. Much has been accomplished in the 30 years since we marched together for civil rights. But what remains is for us to take the ideals of freedom and equality and put them into action, for they are not just ideals, but basic truth. So what began to happen, that some women who apparently were white and passed by white begin to realize that they were mixed. But that was not something that you will acknowledge. So in this process, I began to find even African American women who were mixed with white, but they could not reclaim that they have anything to do with white. And they were mixed with Native American, and Native American was looked down more even than black, so you don't go there either. So those women began to come out with their racial heritage and begin to say, yeah, you know, why not? I'm partially black. I have something in my blood that is not just that pure in one side or the other. So it was very fascinating to see what this was triggering. And my idea for doing this project is exactly because I was not accustomed to live in a culture with that segregation that still was in Nashville. So I felt like, oh yes, let's get together, let's dance, why not? I had no idea what I was walking into, because from my point of view, it was like, yeah, let's dance. And it was very interesting, because I have a Native American, some of them, but some of them didn't say no. My daddy told me, you should don't dance for the white man. And they retrieve and get out of this project. So it was a lot of controversial happening in many, many ways. The community felt that Nashville were not racial, so what I was doing, talking about black and white people building a bridge. So it became to be a dangerous kind of phenomenon. But I was lucky in one way, which is not great to be lucky in that way, but when Los Angeles and we had the verdict of guilty of, what is his name?
Rodney King.
It was exactly the weekend that I was beginning this first gathering of women. And everybody was like, is the black women are going to come? And I, you know, it's like, who knows? Let's see. And they show up. And it was fascinating, because Nashville had a response that was beautiful. Because in that moment, Nashville began to say collectively in the stores, in different places that those black women went, you know, we don't want to go there. And everybody began to open up, to really begin to see the larger picture of the racial issue, even unconsciously. So the black women felt that they were well treated wherever they went. People went out of their way just to welcome them, to make them feel safe. And that was the report. It was a really a very beautiful, you know, how this kind of thing that you never know how they impact the unfolding of a culture in a particular moment and time. And one of those women actually described very beautiful her experience. I saw it today. Each woman discussed her view of the LA incident, the riot following the Rodney King trial verdict. We all agree it was sad to see people destroy their own neighborhood, but we empathize with them too, since all of us have felt frustration upon hearing the not guilty verdict. Then each of us went into a deep meditation and focused on the anger, suffering, confusion, and bewilderment the people in Los Angeles were experiencing. We put ourselves in their shoes of a mother whose child died during the riots, of people whose businesses were burned down, of gang members who already saw their future as hopeless. And we were once more frustrated by a judicial system they felt was stacked against them, of why pulled from their vehicles and beaten as scapegoats, of children watching their neighborhood erupt in vandalism, riots, and death. I came away from the workshop knowing that our small circle of women helped to heal our planet. I know that our group will spread love and peace and goodwill. We each did our part generating positive energy. We will pass this on to our groups of friends. They will pass it on and to theirs, and so on. It was good to know that I helped start something so beautiful and good, to have the opportunity to absorb the love and compassion we all share with each other and share with the world and its people. So it was a very important moment in this healing process for women to realize that they do have a power, and that we did a powerful choice to instead to go into blaming and accusing, to bring that to the heart and begin to see how challenging it is to be born into form and to be born in a body with a color, with a race, and a culture. It's challenging, and no matter which side you are, you know, because one of the things that I discovered too, it was that the pain was both sides, that the guilt was both sides, that the white women were as much afflicted by the racial discrimination and as they were the blacks, that we all share the pain of separation, of feel that you are the other. And it doesn't matter how that take place, even not only racially, but even economical, financially, social class and economic class, is still, even if you have all the money of the world, you could be suffering as well. So it's not just, you know, the poor or the black who had to deal with this incredible pain. And there were moments that even I could feel that white women even have a deeper catastrophe, in the sense that they were separate from their roots because they immigrated so long ago that sometimes the white women begin to say, "Where is my roots? Where I do belong? I don't remember. You know, I am American, but I don't have the soil." So working with the black women was very useful because it helped them to begin to taste, you know, a little bit what it's like to connect back. And after this work, I began to work with, you know, Jews and white women who begin to see that they had to come together in a certain way. And it began to be a process of women regaining a deeper understanding with their roots, with their heritage, and their capacity as women to heal and to be healers, since they have lived in a culture that women has been cut off from that. You know, we burned witches, you know, we did that whole thing, you know, and women were very scared. How would you come out with a ritual in Nashville with 365 churches in every corner? How did you come to something like that and to be able to slowly come out of that indoctrination, I will say. So it was a very beautiful time. And I would like to be very clear that the real focus of this project was healing. My purpose was to explore, do we have the capacity to engage in a deeper encounter, you know, that is not just the surface, that is no artist exhibiting art and playing music and having fun and being able to be viewed, you know, publicly, but are we able to engage in a deeper layer? Are you willing to put yourself on the line and decide to come on? And as a white woman, to have to be able to hold the rage of black women, because it's a lot of rage there. And as a black woman, to be able to hold the guilt that white women were sharing because their ancestral, because what happened, because their what they inherited from their parents and their society. So I use different techniques to help each individual to have access to the part of herself which might open to a broader perspective. The goal was to enable each one to feel free to laugh, cry, dance, fear, and have the courage to explore new possibilities. A human being encountering her own limitations and her own pain. A woman finding her vulnerability and strength with other women. In order to do this, each have to enter a space where the whole of the logical world could be broken. Each had to give birth to the illogical, the unexpected, the dream, the fantasy, the hope for transformation. Because for many of those women, particularly African American, it's like, why do I have to do this? They've done this to me. Why do I need to put myself again? And for some white women was, you know, I'm not suffering. So those women, to be convinced by a foreigner with a broken English, I think that was very, very interesting, because it's like, how, you know, there was something in every one of them to really, you know, be willing to go to this road. And I think that Nashville, as a community, was in a particular moment, because after that period, Nashville changed. Nashville became a big city. We, you know, Nashville was like on the edge of people like saying, Nashville? What is it doing there? Are you crazy going to Nashville? To now, Nashville has become one of the cities that people want to live in. So, you know, it's very amazing, very paradox, that kind of thing. And the only thing that I could answer to people, well, no, the human beings there, because I couldn't understand the stereotype about Nashville and Southern. I had no clue. I said, but what is the problem? It's a city, it's beautiful, it's green, have beautiful architecture, have a lot of water, river, lakes. What's the problem? And then people have to be honest with you. People are friendly. People say hello to you. So it took me some time to touch the depth of Nashville, but even today, I will never repent that I landed in Nashville. I have the greatest friends of my life in Nashville, or from Nashville, and it gave me a really place of belonging in reality. In the end, you know, that is what I felt. And the capacity to play with a community that was open in many ways. It was closed in other ways. But in reality, that is how life is, wherever you go. Because I have in the experience of Sonoma, it's not very different. Mm-hmm. In reality, you know, I'm very surprised of California. I was expecting something else. We moved and danced in freeing new ways until our conscious awareness moved out of our head, out of the numbness of thinking, out of limiting self-consciousness and into our bodies, our female bodies. The more that we move, the more alive, the more fully ourselves we became. Under the gentle guidance, we went deeper into our bodies and began to experience our emotion, joy, sorrow, playfulness, tenderness, and more. Using our eyes and our movement, we explore a way of communicating our feeling to one another, and soon had a sense that each one of us had the same feelings. As the process continued, and once communal and intensity personal experience, we went deeper, moving even further beyond thinking, beyond judging, beyond shame, beyond ego, in all the walls that we build between us. From inside ourselves, traveling in our journey, searching for that place that is the same for all creation, that place where thinking cannot go. When from time to time we gather as a group or pair off one-on-one, what we gave to and receive from each other having a consummate quality to it, as if it came from some rich place where grace and wisdom grow. That is a white woman, Penny Case. So they begin to really was a series of workshops where those women were able for a whole day or a weekend to navigate and to be facing all of this different kind of emotion. I never use discussion. I never use who did what to who. What we did is to explore how can we, knowing what we know about each other's race, can actually move through this together. What is the boundaries that need to be broken? And one thing that I realized, that it was not so much between the races that it need to come down. It was within each oneself. Immediately everyone began to really question the story of their mind and their whole, you know, apprehension, and begin to go from the mind to the heart. There were not that much work to do. They were just women who could cry together and support each other and really destroy those boundaries that in the street tell me that I shouldn't look at you in the eyes because you are not my own, or you are not my race, you are not, you know? So it became a really fascinating experience, not without challenging, but the heart opening, I think that was such an amazing process. To see women who live in Nashville most of their life and they never have a friend from the other race. This was the first time that they had the opportunity to meet the other in a safe environment. Obviously, those women were artists. You know, you have the advantage right there. Writers, poets, musicians, painters, educated women. So it was not necessarily a group that will be, it was not that artists is not difficult to work with. It's probably very challenging. But they are opening to recognize each other's creativity. You know, it was an opening to be vulnerable in the process of creating art. So allow these women to really be more receptive to engage into this level. And I would like to begin to finish with, this is one something that was really very beautiful because it was a multimedia project, so we have musicians too, and there was that happened that we have a couple of white musicians beginning to do music and then a black musician appear, and forget it, when they get together, we know that historically, you see all this documentary in New York where you know, black and white play music and how they melted. But this was really, the song is called Why the Struggle. Unless my eyes are deceiving me, tell me what on earth is this I see? White men lying out in the sun trying to get a tan like me. Black man presses and straightens his hair to look like the white men over there. If we so admire what the others have, why can't we live sister, sister, brother, brother? Why this struggle? Tell me why. Why this struggle? Why do we make trouble? Why do we criticize each other when we could live in peace? It was very funny because how they singing and how it happened. You could see the image of putting the hair. You know, it's like I come from a culture where most of the women straight the hair to look, you know, and then the others burn into the sun to get this color. It's very, very amazing. And I would like to begin my finish with this woman who died, Barbara Bullock. Barbara became in Nashville the artist, the woman artist, black or white, who became a force of itself because she was someone who was living at the edge and she died very young. I don't believe that she was 50. But this woman have all kind of, she have a stroke that she supposedly couldn't come back from there. And doing art, she just came back. And her work is very powerful, is very straightforward. The thing that she was painting, it was like in the face of everybody. So she became that force that nobody could deny the entrance into the artistic territory of the white community because of the power of her work. The painting that she created for this process and reflecting her own life is called All the Difference Between Dark and Light. And this is what she wrote. Because of my race, which is easily spotted, not understood, and generally scorned, I have not been innocent since I was 3. White girls are innocent. They are precious ones, the pretty ones that everyone likes and takes care of. Everything is a conflict to me. I have 1,000 unanswered questions and must make 1,000 changes for every situation. I become hard and worldly before I am out of grammar school. They remain naive. That naivete still makes me angry. Sometimes I wish I had that luxury of just being a girl. I would like to snatch that innocence and naivete away. So much of my life has been taken away being a race. Sometimes I would like to know what it is just being a woman. Her life was torture in every sense. She will go to all the extreme, or drinking, or smoking, or working in an endless. She was somebody who just totally lived on the edge. And in that way, she died too. But she left an incredible legacy of her work, looking at those places of where people don't want to look, don't want to, you know, don't want to see. Experiencing the unfolding of this project was very meaningful for me. It was a laboratory in which I explored the interaction of the forces between these two races and how each changes when it comes into contact with the other. This has given me a deeper understanding of the American culture with its contradictions and its richness. For many of these women, this process inspired a change in the direction of their work and in their commitment to their own healing. We are part of the great circle of the universe, birth, death, and rebirth. In that circle, we are just one without boundaries. All of us, without exception, finally come back to the earth, disintegrate in her, and nourish her with our flesh. Black and white women building a bridge is a way to start planting seeds that will, of course, take time to grow. But time is not the issue for me. I hope it's not the issue for this society either. What must happen will find its own time. We are working for eternity. Thank you. So, now is your turn if you want to ask any question about this work or this, or some of you who really read this work and inspire me to come to this bookstore. I will tell a little story. You know, Ritus is a social worker, and we were together in foster care and foster adopt, and she was teaching a class for parents to adopt, and they have a piece that is about transracial adoption. So the person who actually does couldn't come, and I came to do it in her class, and I brought the book for showing to the parents. I said, well, maybe they find something here, because it's basically white parents adopting African American. But I didn't do anything with it because there were no time, and I gave it to her. So now is your part.
I just loved it. It's wonderful.
So she came back to the staff with the book and said, "Oh my God, all of you have to see it." And another social worker from Ukiah got the book because she was doing a transracial whatever there. So she's one of the responsible for this to happen. So do you have any question or wanted to share?
Actually, Noreen, I had a question. Did you ever get to do the something in the Parthenon?
No, actually, we couldn't do it. I just rehearsed and took pictures.
Oh, but you did the rehearsal.
Well, what I did was example of what was my idea to be able to go further, but I need another lifetime.
After you completed your time in Nashville, and you didn't really say how long you stayed there, I was just wondering if you took this body of work and, you know, took it to other locations or?
Well, we traveled with the exhibition, and I traveled doing workshop around Tennessee in different places. And actually, there was one time that somebody flew me here to Oakland because they wanted to do something similar, and somebody to work with the Women's Center, but it never consolidated. But we went to different places in Nashville and worked with men and women, who was another layer of challenging, because men are not, you know, fussing around. You know, they're going to the bone. So it demanded a lot of kind of balancing out how to work with men and their anger and to do that kind of work. But we went to Boiling, Kentucky. We went to different locations around and had the show exhibit in different places.
And this was like during the early 90s?
Yes. I actually lived in Nashville for 20 years, mm-hmm. believe it or not.
Yeah.
20 years, yeah. But this took a period of 5, 6, 7 years that I was very much into this. Uh-huh. And then, you know, life took another detour.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Have curiosity? Well, no, I want to actually introduce a dear friend of mine who is from Nashville. She's California, but she born and grew up in Nashville. And actually, we met at this time. So I get this phone call from somebody who lives in California and say, "You know, my mother saved me this newspaper about this work, and she feels that is your work, that is my work, that is the kind of work that I'm involved, and we wanted to meet." So she's Caroline Cavalier, and she were already doing incredible, extensive work here in racial issues and class issues. So I'm very happy to have this woman here today from 20 years ago.
I was one of those people saying, "What are you doing in Nashville? I escaped from Nashville. How did you live here?"
So periodically, you know, she has supported a lot of my work in Nashville and how this actually unfold. And
I knew firsthand what it meant that Noreen was doing this work in Nashville. Mm-hmm. It was no small thing.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know, but she knew.
Yeah.
It's almost like it to an outsider who is a little bit naive about what they
You have that to your advantage. You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
No, I'm definitely. That was the only way how I could do it, because I was naive. I was just coming. I don't even know what I was. I didn't know the culture.
No, you didn't know the racial structure that was in place there in the South.
Exactly.
Because you were coming from a completely different place. You were innocent in terms of that. You didn't understand what was.
You have the desire. You wanted the, you know, the assignment to do this, you know.
I did, but yeah, what Caroline say, I tell you, it was so much a shock after shock after shock that there were moments. I remember that there were a period of time that I will wake up in the morning crucified. I wake up in the morning and I was like this every morning, because I had no idea the kind of forces that I was unleashing from these two communities. And there were a lot of anger from both. Who are these women? What did she think? Why did she believe? Why we are not racist here? So, yeah, it was really very challenging. I really have to honor my husband, because I don't know how I could do this without him, because it's like this took all my life. You know, I didn't produce one penny. I was just, it was endlessly, because when you have two here working in this territory and they're black and white, something fall, and I was like a bridge, because I didn't belong to any one of the culture, and I was a mix. I was in between, you know. I was not enough black for the black people. I was not too white for the white either. So I was a creature in between. And what saved me was that I was an artist. So because that, I have a place.
Well, you were kind of exotic too.
Oh.
And also, Brock wasn't from Nashville either.
Exactly.
He was Jewish from New York, so he didn't understand what he was walking into either. Because if he was Jewish from Nashville, which, as you know, I am, he wouldn't have, he would have warned you against doing what you were about to do.
That is true. That, yeah, because he was from New York, so forget it. We was just in a... And then after this story of this 13 city on fire, Nashville turned around to my project. They supported. They put it in the news. Yes, we are coming together. So it worked for my advantage, that conflict too, because it turned the media around, who in the beginning was totally opposing. In one way, I could say that I saw synchronicity happen through this all the time. When I thought that all the doors were closed and this is the end, I remember part of this project was going to be a deeper healing with other African spiritual tradition. And I had this woman who was a black woman, and she was a priestess, and she do all kind of ritual and ceremony. And I have a gathering with her in my house. Part of their initiation that she was going to do would take people to go to a river. It was going to take chicken blood and do cleansing. And I tell you, after that whole presentation, it's like everything fall apart. Everybody came out like that, wait a second, what I'm walking here into it. It was totally terrifying. So that part had to go. But I remember that she will confront people. I remember she confronted Sydney Riva, and she say, "So are you scared? Where is your fire?" You know how black women can be. "Where is your fire?" I thought people were terrified. So I had to take that away. I had to take away the Native American aspect as well, because they couldn't come together to do something like that with white people. And I respect that, because it's not for everyone. It was for the one who could be into this. But is
you were kind of on that edge where Nashville, like you said, Nashville was evolving then, and you had the gallery at that point.
Yeah.
And it was in Cumming Station. It was in this kind of the first place in Nashville that was like a reclaimed downtown space. It used to be a train station, and there was a yoga studio there, and there was a restaurant, and so it was like the beginning of the new Nashville.
Exactly. We were at the edge,
yeah,
on the beginning, and after that, Nashville just exploded. is huge. Is become a really, you know, people tell me, forget it. You don't have time to do the amount of things that you can do in Nashville. So it was a very particular moment and time. You know, Ritus keep telling me, we need to do this here, we need to do this in Oakland. And part of what I have been translating from this is with Anglo women and Latina women. Because you have the same configuration and even worse in many, many ways, you know? And I have done a couple of events of the Night of the Dead and bring like the first time every 50 women together, half Latino and half white. And the second one, I have 100 women that came together, half and half. And that was a very powerful healing experience for not that much focus in the racial, but in death and dying. Is something that really unifies us all. It doesn't matter what color, how much money you have, we're all going to die. And I feel that that aspect really is an equalizer, because it helps people to be here in this moment and realize that it's not that much different that is between us. We share something that is unavoidable. And that bring a lot of sorrow and pain, because, you know, losing someone that you love is no way around. It's the way into impermanence, into the realization that this life is so brief. How can we live it fully and alive? And because, you know, it's so that is something that I have done for a couple of years in Sonoma. But Sonoma is a community that, I don't know how to set a fire there. It's a very different territory. But, and some men came, and it is potential, but I don't know. But I think that it's passionate for me, because it's how I live my life in multicultural environment. You know, to be only with one, that is why I left my country to begin with. It's like being with Dominican all my life, forget it, 20 years enough. So, you know, I live in Mexico and I live here, and my nourishment of life is very multicultural. So, and because I see how people get enriched when this take place.
How long have you been in Sonoma then?
5. Still 5. Yes.
Speaking of multicultural, how did you meet your husband?
Which one? Sorry. The Jewish.
The one that you went to Nashville?
Brock, yes. My husband was 16 years. He came to Mexico, actually, to record his music. Okay. And I was living in a very little town in Ajijic in Chapala Lake, and we met there. And our plan was to live the best of the two worlds. We will live in Mexico, and we will sell our work in the United States and bring the money back. It didn't work. So he didn't sell his music how he was expecting. He had to come to Nashville. And realizing that there were 10,000 songwriters there, you know, taking care of tables. But he's a lawyer too. So he began to work as a lawyer in death penalty cases. So he became a death penalty lawyer, which was part of his spiritual. He was a spiritual seeker as well. And that is how we met. So part of his spiritual unfolding was to work in death row. And he gave himself to it. And he became an incredible lawyer, and have to engage with black, and had to engage with people at that level, and had to engage with refugees from Vietnam who born from a mother and a father of different races. So that was his spiritual path, was to work with people at that edge. And very challenging. People who have committed crime that you cannot even think of it. You don't want even to think of it, because it's at the extreme. And he was able to engage with these people and come back and tell me, you know, the only difference between them and me is that I got a little more education than them. That's why I'm not there. So he became too, you know, we both were engaged into this kind of extreme work, if you want to put it in that way.
I just wanted to ask you about your time in the Dominican Republic. I know that, you know, that you've described it. I missed the first couple of minutes, but I was wondering, from your point of view, was there any racism there in your community?
Definitely. We have Haiti next door. That's enough. Mm-hmm. You know, Haiti, because the racial composition, they are 85-90% black and probably 10% white. Very little mix. We are probably 80% mix. And then you have a 10 and 10 black and white. But if you go to Dominican Republic, this is what you're going to see. But we have the spectrum. You know, I have my grandfather from the side of my mother is blondie and blue eyes. And from the side of my father is black and dark. So you have that whole thing dancing in your life altogether. You don't know how a child is going to come out sometime, because it can come of any of this. But we have a lot of racial issues, but it has a different connotation than what you find in this culture. It's not that it's no racism, but it's very tied with economical too, with financial situation. And one thing that you will add to that confrontation with Haiti is that we get our freedom from Haiti. Haiti control us after Spain took the whole island, then France came after, took part of the island from Spain, the island became divided. Most of the Africans stayed in the side of Haiti, and most of the mixed races stayed in the area of Dominican Republic. So when Haiti liberated from France and threw the French away, they then control us, and we liberate from them. So we had that whole situation too, like Mexico and United States, the same dynamic of the territory. So yes, we do have it. I didn't notice, because I was not black. I was beautiful. You know, you have this kind of skin and you're beautiful, you are not black. But my sister, who is darker than me, she actually suffered. She said that when I born, she was totally devastated. Because when I born, I was more light skinned than her, and my grandfather from the side of my mother, who is white, but my clothing, everything. She said, everything was for you. And we had to work through that, she and me, in understanding what happened to her with my birth. Mm-hmm. Is that clarify your question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even within the same family,
absolutely,
prejudice towards a child.
Definitely, because from the side of my mother, they are white skin. From the side of my father, they're darker skin. So if you can looking like who, that side is going to actually own you.
Sort of claim you.
Yeah, claim you. Gary.
So I understand that your project in Nashville had artists, you know,
yes,
as well as poets, or poets process that you put on. I'm just curious about the impact and the stories of pieces of art, you know, and their expression and impact and how they receive.
Oh, absolutely. Bueno, I tell you, it was amazing. It was truly, I was scared. Everybody was scared. Because we are very close to the Ku Klux Klan land. So it was like, what's going to happen in this opening? But we have over 300 people. Because people were curious, both community, black and white, who never almost have been together sharing the space and the artists come together, because it's their family, it's the cousin, it's the friend, you know? So it was very well received. It was really a turning around in Nashville. It was people send flowers. We know we were, the phrase that came that day for me, we were hungry for something like this. That was the phrase that determined that kind of thing. And as you see, some artwork here are not necessarily all creative for this event, but you have some of them that was totally creative for the event. You know, like René La Rose, that was this painting of a black and a white woman breaking the chain. Barbara Borlick, that was this white woman, a black and a white woman fighting for this bouquet of flower. So in that sense, it was a huge event. You naturally never have something like that happening with so much media coverage for an art exhibit, because it was not just art, but it's black and white. It was the dynamic of race, and it was the whole situation that was happening in the country. So it became a really event in the community, which led to other events like Reaching the Spirit, that was more about spirituality, and the same black and white women get a gallery and create sacred space. We have, because the building where we were located and there was other gallery, we had 2,500 people that night coming through that place that were counted. Mm-hmm. Because it's like women creating sacred space. Wait a second, what is that? Women are sacred, women can create altar, women. So it was a really big explosion for that community. And that was very scary too, because the church and how are we going to be demonized. But you could see fathers bringing their children just to expose them to this. So this opened the gate for going in territory like spirituality. And who has the right to be sacred, or to declare a sacred space, or to do ritual, or to do ceremony. Because at the same time, I met so many women doing ritual and ceremony on the woods. And I say, come ask him, let's go out, let's bring this to the community. I felt that the community will benefit from something like that. So this was like a, you know, like an opening door for that. So I suppose that if you don't have any other question or sharing, should we close here? Okay. But thank you so much for everyone too.